Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, and men primarily, for us, learning how to understand and meet our wives' needs. Ephesians 5:28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church." God challenges you and I as husbands to love our wives as he loved the church. And we want to understand this morning from some practical perspectives from the Word of God, how can we understand and then meet the needs of our wife? Now, 3 weeks after their wedding day, Joanna called the pastor, and she was just literally hysterical as she got on the phone, and she was crying, and she said, "Pastor, John and I had our first fight together, and it was awful, and I just don't know what I'm going to do." And the pastor on the other end of the phone kind of leaned back in his chair and kind of grinned and just shook his head and said, calm down, Joanna. This isn't nearly as bad as you think. Every marriage has its first fight eventually. It's natural. It's going to be okay. Just calm down." And she said, "Pastor, I know. I just don't know what I'm going to do with this body." And now... If that's the route your wife takes, then you need this lesson, because you want to make sure you don't end up like John. How can we understand and meet the needs of our wife? Now, a lot of people prepare for marriage like a teenager shops for their first car. It has nothing to do with the longevity, the durability, the maintenance, and all of that. It has everything to do about what does it look like and what's it going to feel like and so forth. And sometimes when we prepare for marriage like that, we never took the time to consider exactly what it takes for a marriage to thrive long term. We were excited to get married. We were excited for the honeymoon. We were excited for the new things, but we maybe never considered, thought, planned, what is it that it takes for a marriage to thrive for the long haul. A lot of us want marriages without maintenance. We want thrills without responsibilities. We want fun without faithful devotion, but it doesn't work that way. If we're going to have a great marriage, it's something indeed we need to work at. Now, guys, let me say this before we jump in. The needs we're going to talk about understanding and meeting today, from a general sense, are basically the same in every woman. Your wife may have them in a different priority. They may be exercised in a different way. But by and large, universally, doing these things will help you in your marriage. And we want to understand, God has made us differently than our wife. And that isn't just in the physical. That's the obvious one. But in every area, we are different. And that is indeed God's design. So we have to know the needs and meet them. And this morning, let's study four major needs. Number one, security. A woman needs to know that she is safe and provided for. Security is a basic need that God has given to her and designed to be met by her husband in the marital relationship. Now, we can accomplish this by communicating four things to our wives. Number one, communicate that you care for your wife above anyone or anything else except God. Communicate this care to her. When your wife senses that you're preoccupied or detached in some way, she begins to feel insecure. And this needs to be communicated, your commitment to her above anything and anyone or anything else, except, of course, the Lord. And the best way you can determine whether or not she's receiving this care, and guys, get ready, ask her. "Honey, do you feel like you are the most important person to me outside of God? Honey, do you feel like there's anything in my life that I value more than you?" Ask her. You want a dare this week? There it is. Ask her. Okay? You want to know if you're meeting the need? Ask her. I don't know if I will, but you go for it and you tell me how it goes. No, I'm teasing. But ask her and find out. Regularly communicate to your wife how valuable she is, how you are there for her and desiring to meet her needs. It's something that God indeed will bless. We talked about the men having authority, but we can't have authority in the home if we don't take on the responsibility of authority. Sometimes in our culture, we want the authority, the privileges, but we don't want the responsibility that comes with it. Today, guys, we're kind of talking about the responsibilities, and we want to make sure that we have that sacrificial servanthood to lead by example, not by ego, and set the right example in our home. So communicate that. Letter B, communicate your admiration and love for your wife. Now, a woman can never hear too often how pretty she is or how much you love her. You'll never wear her out of, "Honey, you're beautiful. Honey, I love you. Honey, I can't believe God gave you to me. I am so blessed." There's none of those things she'll grow tired of. She loves to hear them over and over and over again. She blossoms in the atmosphere where she is praised and adored, but she wilts and dies in the presence of silence or criticism. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but we need to make sure we're praising and adoring our wives. And by the way, guys, it's an indictment on us when our wife has to go outside the home for this need to be met. Let's just be honest and put the rubber where it meets the road for a moment. If our wife is having to go to a woman's club or this group or that group to get some kind of satisfaction, praise, or someone looking at her, or even some guy to give her this attention, that's an indictment on us. We have to understand this is the way God made my wife. That's why it fundamentally goes back to understanding God made us differently. We can't look at our wife and say, how out of the 3 billion women did I get you? You're so weird. We can't do that. I don't recommend that at all. Don't do that, okay? That was something not to do, okay? So you can't look at it like, you know, man, I got you and you're just so different. Guys, they're all different, okay? It's the way God made them. And by the way, thank God for that. But we've got to understand it fundamentally and then be willing to meet that need and communicate admiration and love for her and who she is. Here's a couple rules for that, guys. Be sincere. Say good things, but really mean them when you say them. Say something about every area of her life. It's easy to praise the physical because we notice that a lot. But take time to go beyond that. How about something intellectually? How about something relationally? How about something in other areas of her character, her motherhood, her heart, even her cooking, whatever, something practical. Communicate praise in every area. Number next, never use sarcasm. Never compliment your wife in a backhanded manner. You mean, you say, what do you mean? Here's what not to say. Honey, you have a great body under all that fat. Now, don't say that. That's another don't say, okay? Just want to make sure you don't say that, okay? This is not what you do. Now, you still all have to come to the North Auditorium next Sunday, okay? Don't leave me over there by myself. Make sure you're going to be there. Okay, here we go. I never use sarcasm. Earn your words of correction. Fellas, they say 5 positives to outweigh 1 negative. If you're going to give a word of correction, make sure you're in your ratios. Have you given 5 sincere praises? All I ever see is the bad. Then change what you're looking at. Because there's good there if you'll find it. And you may feel like you're mining for gold, but it's there and you find it. That was not meant to be. Earn your words of correction. I got a lot of praises to give. Here we go. All right. Now, ladies, listen. Here we go. All right. Number next, praise your wife every day and never stop. Praise her, praise her, praise her. Send cards, send flowers, send love letters, phone call, text, anything and everything to communicate your love and respect. Letter C, communicate your faithfulness. Communicate your faithfulness. In every area, bodily, mind, eyes, heart, the Bible says, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman or lusteth after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. Guys, adultery is just as much about an attitude as it is an action. We're not just talking about only be sexually with your wife. I hope that's obvious. But we're talking about in every area of your life, be committed to her. Faithful to her. You've got to communicate to your wife, honey, I desire you and you alone. You are the most beautiful woman to me in all of the world. Unfaithfulness can be communicated by not having an attitude of faithfulness, by not communicating faithfulness, and by comparing our wife with other women. We've stated it, but we'll state it again. If you do that, we have a special needs class for you on this campus, and that's where you need to go, all right? Do not compare your wife with other women. It is the kiss of death for sure. If we will demonstrate sexual purity and restraint outside of the bedroom in every facet of life, our wife will feel more freedom and responsiveness in the bedroom. There is a direct connection to when a man is exercising faithfulness in every facet of life that brings freedom and liberty to his relationship with his wife. And so we want to make sure we're giving that. And on a side note, guys, never threaten your wife about divorce. I would like to think his design couples class is comprised of men. Real men. Not quitters. We don't quit.
Amen.
We don't threaten with divorce. We don't have an attitude, I've got a plan B. It doesn't exist, not in this room. And I'm looking around the room to a lot of couples I had the privilege of marrying. And our spirit is, we're in it for life.
Amen.
And some days it's going to be awesome. And some days we're going to learn. But we're still going to be in. Amen. We're not going to give up. And we're not going to threaten that. And that needs to be the heart level of every man. Then letter D, communicate your dedication to provide financially. Finances are an important area of security for a woman. She needs to know things are stable. She needs to know that she is secured in this way. How can we communicate to provide financially to our wives? Here's a couple of ideas. I hope these are in the notes because we got to go fast. Praying for God's blessing and direction. Guys, let's pray for God's provision. When it's really tight, let's grab our bride and pray together. But the Lord should know our need. He wants to and He wants to meet it. Number next, aggressively seek the best employment possible. Brother Earl, I don't know. We're just not making it. Do you have a job? Yeah. What do you do? I work 10 hours. A week here. Okay, well, here's an idea. Let's work some more. Okay, let's look for the best opportunity. And the best opportunity might be a full-time job. It might be 3 part-time jobs. I don't know what it's going to be. A man in our class emailed me recently and said, Brother Rule, pray for me for a need. I'm interviewing right now. I'm trying to get a 3rd job. I want to provide for my family. That's the kind of spirit we want to make sure that we have and make sure that's being communicated. Being a hard and faithful worker. A man's work maketh a way for him. Be a wise money manager. Make sure we're stewarding the funds well. Then she needs, secondly, affection. Affection is essential, and it's non-sexual touching. And we want to make sure we're providing that to our wife, holding her hand, putting our arm around her, getting close to her physically in public areas, making sure that it is known that this is someone in whom we love and cherish. This is our bride. This is our friend. This is our lover. We want to make sure throughout the day that our love is being sensed and felt in an affectionate way. And another benefit of that is your children watching you be affectionate with your wife. It's a good role model. Children need a lot of affection. And when they see that between their mom and dad, it's a good thing. You're just going to have to trust me, but it is. Number 3, she needs communication. Wives have an inner need for detailed communication with their husbands. Letter A, you got to recognize, guys, this is a real need. She really needs to talk to you for extended periods of time. She needs more than, how was your day? Fine. How are things going? Great. What are you thinking about tomorrow? I don't know. She needs more than that, all right? It's a legitimate need in your relationship. Your wife is dependent on you in many ways. And when you are in the position of headship, authority, and responsibility, a wife feels very vulnerable when she's not aware of what's going on. And her only way to know what's going on is to hear you talk about it. So she needs to hear it. You say, Brother Rule, how big of a need is it in her life? As much as you need sex, she needs to hear you talk. Okay? It's a need. It's something God has given her. It's the way He wired her. It's in her DNA. So, fellas, here's a practical tip. Schedule time for it. Schedule time. Tomorrow, when are you going to talk with your wife? Uninterrupted, no kids, no cell phones, no TV. When's it going to be? How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? How about Thursday? Is it an hour after the kids go to bed? Is it an hour before they get up? Is it when you take a walk? When's it going to happen? Schedule a time. Guys, sometimes we're not going to know what to talk about. It's okay. She'll fill a lot of the hour in for you, but just schedule the time and make sure it gets done, all right? Here we go. Letter B. Open communication is essential for marital success. One of the worst forms of abuse women speak of is silence by their husband. They would give anything for him just to open up and talk. And guys, you've got to open up and speak with your wife in an honest way. Can I say this quickly? There's no such thing as the strong, silent type, because true strength is displayed in the courage to open up, not in the fear of hiding behind how you feel. A real man finds a way to talk. And by the way, that sometimes is more intimidating than jumping off a bridge into a lake or jumping out of a plane or whatever. I mean, to sit there and then just to kind of open up how we feel, it feels weird. We feel like we're speaking a different language. We're uncomfortable at first, but I'm just telling you, it's a need she has, and we really want to work at that ingredient being our relationship. And then lastly, as we run out of time, she needs leadership. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. And fellas, I want to encourage all of us this morning, and certainly myself, that it doesn't matter whether or not our wife is naturally passive or naturally dominant. Every lady has a desire deep down to be led by a caring, righteous man. And we want to make sure that we are providing that kind of leadership. And guys, I want to encourage you, lead in every area of the marriage. Our wives desire for you and I to lead our family spiritually. I love his design. And one of the reasons I do is because I believe we have a lot of men in this room who want to lead their family spiritually. They want to be taking him to church. They want to lead him in time in God's word. They want to lead him in prayer. They want to lead him to serving God. And I love that. And guys, I hope as we transition to a new room and God might add a couple of new families that we will band together with a passion to maintain a sincere desire to serve God and to lead our family spiritually. So consider leading them spiritually. We talked about the finances and the security. Guys, oftentimes wives grow weary of no help with the children. The training of the children, the discipline of the children, the management of the home. And just stop and ask honest questions. When's the last time you trained your child to do something specifically? When was it? When's the last time you carried out some correction or discipline in your home? When was it? Boy, sometimes we come home and we want our wife to come meet us and feed us and romance us and all of these things. And to be honest, she just wants to go into a coma because she's worn out, because she feels like she's doing this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And we're the leader and we're not helping with any of it. And sometimes we got to assess where they are and jump in. And it might even be vacuuming a room. It might be ironing some clothes. It might be getting the laundry caught up. It might be taking the kids. It might be doing something. It's the leader assessing the home and saying, what do I need to do next? How do I provide the leadership? How can I serve and help my families? Guys, what are some needs we can meet in our wives this week? Let's be a leader. And let's ask God to provide that leadership in every area of our home. Let's be a communicator. Let's make sure we're communicating things effectively to our wives and also taking time for that need. Number next, let's be affectionate. That's a physical touch without sexual intention. Let's learn how to put our hand on her back and her arm around her and give her a hug and hold her hand and make her know she's valuable and special by the way she's treated. And then guys, provide that security to her. And those practical tips we gave you, you may not do all of them this week, but pick one. And let's grow in knowing these needs and meeting them. Class, I want you to know something. I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm excited about what God is doing in our midst. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. None of us get the credit for this. Just God does.
Amen.
And I believe he's doing it, and here's what excites me. I don't think he's stopped. I think there's more to do. I think the best is yet to come. I think God still desires to work, and I want to see what he can do. Let's pray together that God will strengthen our homes, and let's pray together that next week, God will anoint and bless in a special way that first day of his design in the North Auditorium. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time together today in your word. God, I pray that you'd bless our class. God, I pray that you'd help us to be husbands and wives that are striving to know your word and to live it to the best of our ability. May we be a strong families, strong marriages, built on the principles of the word of God. Lord, I pray that you bless our class in a very special way this week. Lord, you know my heart. We don't want one person left behind. And through postcards and phone calls and text messages and emails and visits, Lord, help us to connect with everyone who's ever been to his design and invite them next Sunday to celebrate with us as we begin meeting in the North Auditorium. Lord, as we saw the hands raised of the families recently added, may that be the testimony in the future as well. Thank you for our class. Bless them. Build a hedge of protection about them, and may their homes bring you honor and glory this week. We will surely praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.